Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Hey, we told you about a concert announcement. How about this? Tool, the band Tool, coming to Bridgestone Arena Tuesday, January 23rd. And you can win a pair of tickets before you can buy them. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. But you can call in right now, 615-737-1025, and you can win those tickets to see Tool before you can buy them. 10 a.m. on Friday is when you can buy them. And Tuesday, January 23rd at Bridgestone Arena. So pretty cool that they have announced that. Let's say hello to John McClain from Houston, Sports Radio 610. Usually joins us on Wednesday. Thanks for moving around for us, John. How are you?
I couldn't be better. I'm living in a baseball city right now because of the Astros trying to defend their World Series title, and the Texans coming up lost to the Falcons. So it's quite interesting right now in Houston.
Well, it's interesting here in Nashville, too, because as you can imagine, week after week, you know, when the Titans thump the Bengals like they did, everybody's feeling good, and they're like, oh, there you go, the offense looking like it should. And then they lose to the Colts in a game that they were in until the very end. Tannehill throws a pick trying to drive the ball down the field with a minute or less left on the clock. But what did you think about the Titans' performance and the fact that, once again, it felt like they couldn't get Derrick Henry going the way that they wanted to?
I think, as you guys know, as Henry goes, so go the Titans. As Henry goes, so goes Tannehill. I was glad to see Hopkins have started to fit in more there, because he's just going to keep getting better and better. But I don't know if it's the offensive line. I don't know if it's the blocking overall. You guys will know that better than I. But I do know from afar that when they can't control the line of scrimmage and have Henry make the plays he did 2 weeks ago, then they're doomed. And I think the Texans knocked Richardson out of the game, and that was the worst thing that could happen, because Minshew came in and beat him. And I think the Colts have a better chance to win with Minshew, because he's got more experience. And he's not going to make a lot of mistakes in these one games, but that's not what they want in the long run. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if Singh misses five games, they don't go 3-2 and put heat on the Jaguars, while the Titans and Texans look like they're destined right now to compete for last place in the South.
So let me ask you this, because you're the perfect authority on this. You remember when Bill O'Brien went from being just the head coach to having more power and basically becoming the GM and the head coach, and we saw how that ended. With Mike Vrabel, it's very apparent he has more power now with the Titans. He's listed on the website under football executive leadership alongside Rand Carthon. They've made it a big deal that it's a collaboration between those two. How did the perception of the players towards Bill O'Brien change once he got that title? Because I feel like we're kind of seeing some of that here.
People complained about O'Brien constantly because they didn't like it. Bill never came across well, whether he was talking to the media, talking to the fans. He just didn't come across well. So no matter what he did, he was criticized. When they won 4 division titles in 5 years and 2 playoff games, we gave the players the credit, some of those system coaches, and grudgingly O'Brien. And O'Brien wanted to do it like the Patriots, where the head coach has total control. And that was his goal when he came in. He had an established general manager in Rick Smith, and they had humongous clashes that divided the organization because of their difference on personnel. Now, a good general manager is going to make sure a coach gets the player he wants, because if you force a coach to take a player, he's not going to play him. If you let the coach take a player you don't want, then he's going to play him come hell or high water to prove that he was right. I learned that decades ago from former Oilers Titans general manager Mike Olivak, because he thought he had final say on everything, but you can't force things on a head coach because coach has control of the game day roster, assistant strategy, and everything else. O'Brien, he had no tolerance for a lot of things. And, like, he didn't like it that Hopkins didn't practice. He didn't like it that Jadeveon Clowney was late to meetings. Therefore, he made really bad trades for both of them, and they went in 2018 when they were 11-5 and had a lot of star power, even though they blew a home playoff game to Andrew Luck and the Colts. That was the best team they had, and then he started to get rid of them. I can't imagine. To me, Mike Vrabel is much more tolerant. He knows every player can't be treated the same way because he was a player. And Vrabel knows that every player is not going to have the work ethic that he had, and I think he understands that. So I can't see. O'Brien made bad trades. He was general manager for 2 years, and finally they wised up when they went 0-4 to start the 2020 season, and they'll never give a head. They'll never make a head coach a general manager here again.
Smart move. Talking to the legend, John McClain. John, let me ask you this. During the offseason, the Titans asked one of their, you know, best players, fan favorite, people love him here, Kevin Byard, to take a pay cut, and, you know, it became that he said, she said kind of ordeal. What's the collateral damage of that in a locker room?
I think it all depends on how the player handles it. Most players say one of the worst things you can do, okay, we're not going to re-sign you in free agency, but shop around, and then when you get your offer, come back to us, and if we want to match it or beat it, we will. Well, that player is going to take less to go somewhere else, because generally the team that they say spill blood for ought to appreciate them more than anybody else. And I didn't pay much attention to that other than the fact when it happened, and it was him, one of their best players and leaders, I was surprised. Did he take the pay cut and redo his contract, or did he just say no?
I think he just said
it was he redid the contract and took a pay cut.
Yeah,
well, most guys won't do that, and that said a lot about him. But how he handles it behind the scenes would be the way the players handle it. If he did not make it an issue and he's all about the team, and I'm guessing he is because that seems to be the kind of player he is, that wouldn't have an issue.
Well, the reason why I ask, because there seems to be a disconnect between Vrabel and the team, and, you know, you're asking one of your best players to do this, and there's got to be a fallout effect after all that. It's just an odd thing that we're seeing here in Nashville now, John.
Well, I didn't know when Rand Cawthorn came there. I'm guessing he would have, you know, he's got an agent that he would negotiate it. Somebody has to have final say. Like, I see all the time in San Francisco people talking about John Lynch doing a great job. Well, I'm sure he does, but Kyle Shanahan has it in his contract that he has final say. Just like here, Nick Caserio, the general manager, has it in his contract he has final say. So if they can't agree on something, somebody has got to have the final say, because collaborations sound great, but if they can't agree, somebody's going to have to put his foot down and say that's the way it is. So I'm guessing one of those guys has it in the contract or an understanding that he's going to have the final say if there's a total disagreement on the prospect.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking with John McClain from Houston, Sports Radio 610, usually on Wednesdays at 9:30, but nice enough to move to today. We talked about D-Hop a little bit earlier, and you saw him get going. But you also pointed out, like we all know, that if Derrick Henry's not going, this offense is not going. Do you think, though, as DeAndre Hopkins continues to progress and grow, that he can take some of that pressure off of Derrick Henry and become maybe not the catalyst to the point that Derrick Henry is with this offense, but certainly help it?
Well, yes, he would help it, but the way Tannehill plays and the way he's got to have a running game, if they say they have to throw too much, D-Hop's going to get a lot more attention. And that play I saw him make along the sideline, that's the kind of play we saw routinely here. And he, you know, one of the things I like about him, it doesn't matter what the situation is, winning, losing, home, road, bad weather, good weather, he's always the same player. He's always consistent. And the best thing they can do, of course, is be a consistent running team like they used to be. And I'm guessing a lot of that starts up front. There's so many teams right now that are struggling to run the ball. I've got one right here in Houston, and they're having big-time trouble running the ball that they didn't have last year. So it puts so much pressure on the quarterback and on the wide receiver. But I'm guessing Tannehill sure likes the fact that he's got DeAndre Hopkins there, knowing that he can throw the ball to him. And if he's not double covered, he should catch it just about every time if he throws it accurately.
John, let's talk about a few of the things in the National Football League. And let's start with probably one of the worst football teams I've seen in a long time, the Carolina Panthers. I just discovered this morning that they do not own their first-round pick of the 2024 draft, which would probably be the first overall pick. I mean, have you seen it? I mean, I know you have, but that's just a bad football team. Do they have any hope at all?
It was amazing to me when they hired Frank Reich, and he had an interview yesterday that I just saw this morning and I retweeted, in which he was talking about the media, and he was asked about the role that the owner, David Tepper, plays. And he said some owners don't like to engage, some do, and he likes to engage. So people are saying, well, maybe he made him take Bryce Young. Well, it's so unfair to try to judge Bryce Young at this point of his career. He had I think he has four interceptions, two or three fumbles, but he had three touchdown passes Sunday. And they traded a lot of picks. They don't have, besides not having their one, they've given up the receiver to the Bears. They don't have a two in 2025 on that trade, and they're missing another one, high one, the one in 24, and it would be first overall right now. But there's so many bad teams. I mean, my God, the last 2 weeks, the Patriots are the worst team in the NFL, and it's topsy-turvy, up, down, most of them are down, but boy, if they got the number one pick and could have Caleb Williams, I'm guessing they would get some of those draft picks back, trading to another team that wanted to take him, because there's no way they're going to give up on Bryce Young after 1 year, even though Caleb Williams is a better prospect than anybody was in this past draft.
Totally agree. Give me your thoughts on the Vikings, John. It's like year after year they go into the season, all these expectations, and that's not a very good football team either, and when they should be.
Well, last year they won 11 games by one score, and then they lost the playoff game by one score. Now they're losing all the games by one score, and they've just lost the best receiver in the NFL, Kirk Cousins, in the last year of his contract, and that division is terrible. It looks like the Lions are going to run away with it. They haven't won an NFC North title since 1991, and there's some bad football being played, and we saw two bad ones last night as well. They're just not among the worst yet, but I think the Vikings, the problem is there's too many teams that need quarterbacks. Yes, it's a really good deep draft for talented quarterbacks, but that doesn't mean there's only two, and that would be Caleb Williams and Drake May from North Carolina, that people think are franchise quarterbacks, at least to this point. And there's going to be a scramble. And it looks like Minnesota's going to be in it, because why would they want to give Kirk Cousins a 4 or 5 year contract for $50 million a year instead of starting over with a young guy and buying time for a coaching staff that would be entering its third season?
John McClain is with us, and I agree with you. There are a lot of bad teams right now. I mean, are either average or below average, however you want to put it. But what teams do you consider to be the actual good teams right now? I'll give you one, San Francisco.
Everybody says Philadelphia is number two. The Eagles have not dominated the way they did last year, which is interesting considering they are unbeaten. I think people put the Chiefs third, and those would be the top three. in Cincinnati, a lot preseason Super Bowl pick by a lot of people, plays the way it did Sunday. If Joe Burrow plays the way he did Sunday, then they ought to get on a roll. But there's like Baltimore losing to Pittsburgh after the Texans just beat the Steelers by 24 points. You can't trust a lot of teams. I think you can trust the 49ers. I think you can trust the Eagles. And I think you can trust the Chiefs. And after that, I don't think you can trust any team based on what we've seen so far. The AFC North, I thought was going to be great. AFC East thought was going to be great. You know, the Jets have been respectable considering they lost Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots are awful. But it's a two-team race. But I thought in the AFC North, any of those four teams could finish first. Any could finish last. And that may still be the case, but there's not any teams at this point that scare you in the AFC North.
So with the NFC, you're not ready to buy Detroit sitting at 4-1?
I don't put Detroit in the same class as those other three. If you had Detroit, I just don't. One thing about the Chiefs, even though they beat the Chiefs, I think with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you'd take them over Jared Goff and Dan Campbell. I think everybody would, especially say if it came to a – I don't think we're going to see them in the Super Bowl. We could see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and while I think it would be a great story for the Lions, who won two playoff games since the 50s and haven't won a title since the 50s, I think it'd be great if they were in it. And maybe they will be, but right now I trust them to win the division but not to go to the Super Bowl.
We're talking to the legend right now, John McClain. John, I get your thoughts on this. We talked a couple weeks ago about the throwback uniforms that the Titans are going to wear versus the Texans, all that. But this weekend, you know, the Buccaneers are wearing the creamsicles. Being a fan of the NFL, do you embrace all this? I think it's fantastic, John, because it's nostalgia, and it takes us back to a place growing up watching football that we love. Your thoughts on all this?
Well, I'm big on nostalgia. We all are as we get older. But there's some of those uniforms, when they wore them, people are like, my God, why would they wear those uniforms? They're so ugly. They're putrid. And those creamsicle uniforms were the ones that everybody blasted the most. Now they can't wait to welcome them back. You know, people didn't pay attention to Columbia Blue all those years when the Oilers were terrible. Then when they got good, everybody loved the uniform. And now I see all these things online from people in other cities, you're saying, man, I love those Oiler uniforms. And so I think it's great because it means such a big deal to fans and media. It means more sales to the NFL because we know the poor NFL owners need every penny they can get. And I can't wait to see the Titans wear them against the Falcons and can't wait to see them wear them against the Texans. I just hope that game means something to keep the interest going, because in fact I was at a dinner for Gridiron Legends of Texas. A lot of Oilers were there. I just left a golf tournament where I made an appearance for the Gridiron Legends of Texas. A lot of Oilers were there, and they are so
Did we lose John? He got zapped. John, I think we lost John.
The ghost of John McKay came back and got him at those creamsicle uniforms.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. He just completely cut out.
Did he get raptured?
No.
Says he's still in the line. I don't know where he's at.
He's gone.
Hey, John.
But anyway, John McClain, appreciate him for joining us as he usually does each week. Good stuff there, usually on Wednesdays at 9:30, but appreciate him moving some stuff around. Coming up next, I have two quick thoughts. One on the Preds, one on the Titans, including there is a receiver that could be on the market should the Titans take a look. We'll discuss that.
They don't want Yanti Thigpen.
No,
I'm telling you right now.
No, not him. We'll do that next, plus celebrity birthdays. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.